It is so good to be here, and we bring you greetings in Jesus' name. And I also want to wish a special happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. Maybe one thing for the youth yet. We had a children's class and we had an adult class. Don't want to let the youth out. Here's something for you to think about. As you think about obedience to parents, why do you think, I won't make you answer this, but think about it. Why do you think that of all the right things that there are to do and all the commandments in the Bible, why do you think honoring your father and mother is included in the top 10? Why did God find it necessary to say, now make sure you honor your parents, your father and your mother? I don't know why all that was. But one of the reasons I think perhaps is that one of the things, and perhaps this is youth struggle this morning, that's why I'm talking to you, but it's for all of us. But one of the things you'll learn as youth is that your parents aren't perfect. Believe it or not. You may find that your parents make mistakes, and they may even have to come say they're sorry sometimes. And one of the things, one of the responsibilities that we have as children, all of us have a mother or had a mother, but one of our responsibilities is to still honor them in spite of their weaknesses. There is no excuse. Their weaknesses or failures are no excuse for dishonor. So just remember that. Always honor them. That means to raise your opinion of them in your minds and to obey and to respect and to lift up for the position that God gave them, not even that they necessarily chose. All right. Honor your fathers and mothers. That is certainly a part of commands that we find in Scripture. It's something we want to think about on this Mother's Day. The call to motherhood is not for the faint or the feeble of heart, especially as I think about the way that society continues to change and so often the lack of importance that's placed on being a mother. Popular opinion isn't all that favorable toward mothers. Worldly wisdom has its own set of opinions on whether or not you should be a mother. But in family worship one night, I just asked the children, how many mothers can you name in the Bible? And you start thinking about, and I know this is an obvious fact, but every person in the Bible had a mother, right? Except Eve was the mother of all living. And Adam didn't have a mother, but everyone else had a mother. And you start, again, we're talking about thousands of years and so many things that happened in all those days and years. And yet there's people that are specifically mentioned and there's mothers that are mentioned. And there's stories that we can read and there, God said, this is an important story about a mother that needs to be included. And we could look at quite a few different ones. But I want to look at one in 2 Kings chapter 4. You can turn there. 2 Kings 4, we're going to read verses 8 to 37. And I titled this sermon, A Tribute to Godly Mothers. A Tribute to Godly Mothers. There was this woman in Shunem that the Bible says was a great woman. I don't know for sure what all was meant by great. It could be that she was wealthy. It could mean that she was popular. It could mean that she had a great faith. I don't know exactly. But it says, the Bible says it was a great woman. Let's take the time to read this story. Children, you can follow along. 2 Kings chapter 4. Starting at verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. It fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her. So Elisha said to his servant, Tell this woman, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid, or don't promise me too much. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother and sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Aren't we glad the story doesn't stop there? And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. I think this could have been about 20 miles that she had to travel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And she came to the man of God to the hill. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way, and if thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went in again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Fascinating story of a miracle that happened in difficult days. If you just go back a couple of chapters, you have the time of Ahab and the infamous Jezebel, and there was just a lot of idolatry going on. But here in the midst of that, we find a woman, a mother who had faith, and a prophet of God who was used by God to bring this child back to life. I have a very simple outline. I want to use the questions in verse 26. Just rephrase them a little bit. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Are your children all right, moms? Is your husband all right? Are you all right? Let's look at them in that order. Are your children all right? Well, you would say in this story, well, no, my son is dead. Is my child all right? What did she say? She says, yes, it's fine. It's well. Why did she answer like that? How could she answer like that? This is a broad question. Are your children all right? Let's break it down a little more specifically. I want to give three tests to each of these questions. Last Sunday, we looked at the Good Shepherd. And these tests come out of a similar train of thought with God being our shepherd. And you think about Psalm 23. There's at least three things in that psalm that we need to be okay, all right, to be all right, for life to be fine. We need protection, and we need to be presented before the Lord. In other words, this, like Psalm 23, was speaking of a path toward something. It was toward, in our minds and spiritualizing it, toward fellowship with the shepherd. So we're going to send this through the presentation test and then also through the provision test. Are your children provided for? Are they presented and are they protected? So first of all, are your children all right? Let's ask this question. Well, are they under protection? Why didn't Elisha, ask, is my room okay? Was there a fire that went through? No, he asked about the woman, her husband, and her child. Because those are really important things. Are your children all right? Jesus gave the lovely picture, and he talked about him caring for his children, of a mother hen that gathers chicks under her wings. And that's a lot the same way that a mother is. A mother wants to protect her children. And the whole protection thing really starts on day one or even before day one. But a mother protects a child. A child is born in you, mothers, protected from the moment of conception. And I think what is pictured in those months is this idea that children are so dependent. They need a parent. They need a mom. Particularly, we're talking about moms, mothers today. Of course, they need a father as well. But they need a mother. And in Isaiah, we have this question. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And the answer to this rhetorical question is no. A mother can't forget her child. It's, what do we say, hardwired within them to just be their protector. What does it mean to protect your children? Well, sometimes it means saying no. Learning to say no to your children. Of course, don't get me wrong. Fathers have to be involved, and I want you all to stay with me. But mothers, sometimes you need to say no to your children out of protection. Can we do this or that, mom? No, I don't think you should. Are you prepared to say no? Are you tough enough to say no to the potential of harm? And yet at the same time, tough enough to say yes to the potential of benefit. Think about getting to the age where children start driving and suddenly you want to protect them, but you kind of have to let them go. And that's just one example. But there's other things where we say, I think a mother's heart wants to just say, no, I want to keep them. But are your children all right? Are you tough enough to say yes to the potential of benefit? Willing to protect them from overprotection? Are your children okay? What about the presentation test? And I take this more from the story. I'm going to jump around to a few different stories of mothers. Not just this story, but think about the story of Hannah and how she longed for children. One of the things that caught my attention as I read that story as well is Hannah, after she received this little boy and she weaned him, she says, I'm going to take him and I'm going to present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. One of the jobs as mothers, I'm asking you, are your children okay? Have you presented them to the Lord? And I see that happening in a couple of different ways. One is, have you actually told the Lord, these are your children, and I'm caring for them. You let me have them for a few years, and you present them to God, and say, they're yours, Father. Help me to raise them for you. You think about Hannah making that decision. That was a very real decision for her to say, I'm going to not lend him to the Lord and hang on to him. I'm going to leave him there at the temple. But additionally, I think in presenting them to the Lord is the aspect of you as moms presenting yourselves to the Lord. And through that, you present your children to the Lord. So there's a host of different ways throughout the day that you can present your children to the Lord. First, you need to have a relationship with him. But then when they run up against bumps and bruises and lost shoes and whatever, do you take them to present them to the Lord and say, let's talk to God about this. He can help us find this lost shoe. Do you present them to God when they come with crying to you with their hurts and disappointments and people being unkind to them? Present them to the Lord. Are your children okay? Have they been presented to the Lord? Our children will worship somewhere. The question is, where will they worship? Are we as parents, are you as moms, helping them, presenting them to the Lord? If you read on in the story of Samuel, you see that Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. And I don't think there's any child that grows up in the presence of God by default or by accident. Maybe I should take that back. There are children that grow up and they have to make that choice all on their own. But moms, you have, a godly mother has a tremendous privilege of paving the way for that child to grow up in the presence of God. Take the opportunities to present them to the Lord. What about the provision test? Are you providing for your children? Are they okay? Are your children all right? Are they provided for? Children come with a lot of needs, a whole lot of needs. And again, we're not going to read the story in Samuel, but I'm just impressed with how Hannah went and made that little coat every year and took it to him, right? And she saw that need. But what I want to bring out is that your children have needs well beyond their clothing. It's a tremendous opportunity to be able to sew for your children and provide for their clothing. But beyond that, there's so many more needs and psychological needs that needs that you're meeting even through providing clothing. This little robe that Samuel wore, there was whole lot more tucked in it than just a robe. It was the love of a mother, the care of a mother, the prayers of a mother, the longings of a mother for her boy were also being presented each year as she took that little coat up. And we see this mother. We don't have a lot of interaction with her here in 2 Kings, with her and her son. But when you look at the care that she had even for Prophet Elisha, and she said, we're going to build a little shelter for him, a little bedroom. I'm sure she was providing for her son as well. She had a heart of care, and she wanted to provide. One of the things as moms that you need to be aware of is the needs of your children and providing for those needs. Learn to provide for all of their needs and some of their wants, and not the other way around. There's many moms who have tried to provide for all of their child's wants, thinking that that will make them happy, but you'll spoil your children. Moms, are your children okay? Are they protected? Are they presented? And are they provided for? That's a big job. And I always take comfort in Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We're not in it alone, are we? Moms, you have a shepherd. Lean on him. Are your children okay? Is your husband all right? Secondly, is your husband all right? There are differences between moms and dads. We all know that. Sometimes we make light of it. We were shopping together yesterday and saw a sign that said, shopping with your husband is like hunting with a game warden. And I'm not sure what all they were trying to accomplish with that saying, but people tend to make light of the differences between husbands and wives and say, oh, they're expected not to get along. But wives, is your husband all right? Now, I'm gonna switch gears a little bit here. And husbands, I'm gonna talk to the moms, but this is very subtly directed right at you, and I want you to answer these questions. As a general statement, men are wired to fix things. If it's broken, find the most efficient way to fix it. You think about this man from Shunem. What did he do to fix the situation? What was the quickest thing he could think of to do when his son was hurting? Take him to mom. I don't want to be overly critical of him, but it seems like maybe he wasn't quite taking his responsibility. In the story of Hannah and Elkanah, he said, in the bitterness of her anguish, he said, well, am I not better to you than 10 sons? And men want to just fix these problems. We think we should be able to just make the problem go away. Well, let's take this through the three tests. Is your husband all right? First of all, is he protecting you? Is he protecting you from the fierce attacks of those who seek to belittle you as one who, because you committed yourself to motherhood, is apparently doing nothing significant with your life? Those attacks come sometimes. They come from the devil. They come from the world. Is your husband protecting you from those attacks? Is he protecting you from the snare of loneliness by his commitment to be your pal, as in protective, attentive lover? Is he your pal? Or does he just say it in a card and then live in denial? Do you know he's your protective, attentive lover? Is he at home? Is he there to protect you from loneliness, discouragement, emptiness, pain, frustration, from feeling as though the world is about to come right down on top of your head? How's he doing? Is your husband all right? Is he commending you in the role you fill as a mother? Is he the gatekeeper of your home? Is he scanning the mail that comes in? Are you protected, moms? High calling, husbands. How about the presentation test? Does he present himself to you the way he was told to in Ephesians? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself. Christ presents the church, his bride, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Is your husband presenting you as a glorious bride? Like Jesus, purposeful in his love, sacrificial in his love, selfless in his love, exclusive in his love? Do you know that your husband has eyes only for you? Do you know that he is radically committed to faithfulness? Do you know if he is prepared to do what every mom needs him to do for her children? Namely, love her with a passion so those children never, never doubt the security and the stability of a home. Are you his queen? Moms, is your husband okay? Husbands, can we answer those questions? And are you provided for? What kind of provision is your husband providing for you? Is he providing for you emotionally? Is he talking? Does he talk about what's happening in the checkbook? Does he help talk about the growing children? Does he talk about the needs in the children? Does he provide for you physically, financially, mentally? Is he providing for the children? Is he providing books for your home? Previewing them? Reading them? Is he providing jobs for your boys? Is your husband okay? We have some work to do. I have some work to do. our moms need husbands. And thirdly, are you all right? What about it, moms? Are you all right? Think about your own personal life. Psalm 40, verse 11 says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth, continually preserve or protect me. Are you finding the love of God, the loving kindness of God, the mercy of God, the truth of God to be your protection? Jesus prays in John 17, and he says, in my own words, Father, I'll protect them. My children that you've given to me, I'll protect them. I'll care for them. I'll love them. And that includes moms. Jesus wants to protect you. Are you finding your protection in him? Is your protection ultimately wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a blessing to have a godly husband. I believe it is for moms. But ultimately, a husband will provide as much as he can. A godly husband will seek to protect you. One day he may be gone. Wives, moms, you need to find in a real way your protection in the Lord. Jesus needs to be real to you. You face a responsibility that's among the greatest responsibilities that could ever be in life, and that's being a mom. One of the things you need to do to fulfill that responsibility is to find a hiding place in the pressure, in the storms of life. Do you have a place of protection you can go? Do you have a secret place? Do you know what it means to connect with your protector? A place to turn when everything seems wrong. Again, I come back to the Shunammite woman. She could have tried a bunch of home remedies. She could have tried... No, she went to God. Her connection was through the prophet. And she went there. And she wouldn't let him go until he came. She knew where to go. Do we know where to go? What about, have you presented yourselves to the Lord recently in the task of parenting? In the task of mothering? Have you presented yourself to the Lord? I like what Mary says. After the angel came to her and said, you're going to bear a child. It's going to come from the Holy Ghost. It's going to be the Son of God. And she said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Maybe that's what you need to pray, moms. I'm your handmaid. Behold, here I am. Use me as a mom to do your will. Are you prepared in the silence of your heart to make a fresh consecration to the task of mothering? Even if the world thinks it's foolish, even if you don't get applause, children, remember, you're supposed to thank your mother for something today. She should get some applause today, but there may be days where she doesn't get much thanks. Are you still prepared to consecrate yourself to the task of mothering? Are you prepared to say, Lord, you are my protector, and I present myself to you. In the few years I have to influence my children, I present myself to the high calling of being a mom. God loves to hear that, something to that effect. He loves to honor that. A woman who presents herself to the Lord and says, I'm yours, Lord. I'm a mom. It's tough. But I present myself before you. Help me to be a good mom. Are you all right, moms? What about provision yet? Success in the realm of mothering comes as a result of giving yourself. It's a very real way where moms probably give of themselves more than us dads. When it comes to mothering and childbearing and child rearing and child feeding and even potty training. I mean, these things require so much of a mom. A mom needs to give herself. Being a mom is perhaps the most significant responsibility on the face of the earth. But I'm presuming that the reward that God gives to moms is in measure with the amount of responsibility. If you're a godly woman and you're raising children for Him, God will reward you. God will bless you. God will help you. God will provide for you as you give of yourself to your family and to your children. What do you look for? What's most meaningful to you? Is it a big kitchen or, cookware that has a lifetime warranty? Or there's all these things that moms like, and we husbands should provide some good things for them. But when it really comes down to it, a godly woman loves to see her children walk before the Lord in righteousness. That's what a godly mom lives for. That's what a godly mom should love to see. All of a godly woman's hopes in this world are bound up in her children. You won't be remembered by the job that you held and how much money you made, likely. You won't be remembered for your education, perhaps. But at the end of the day, the things that your children remember you for and the things that they cherish will be related to you giving of yourself, providing yourself, giving up yourself for them. We take so much for granted when we as adults, and when I step back and I look at what the task of parenting involves, and then I say, well, I guess my parents did that for me. I just took it for granted that they would do that, right? It's a bit thankless at times, but your children will remember. Their memories and their love will grow out of what you provided for them. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, Proverbs 31 says, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Your children will bless you, your husband will bless you, and God will honor you. Are you all right, moms? Are your children okay? Are your husbands okay? Are you okay? God longs, as a shepherd, as a kind and caring father, longs to meet those needs and to make life okay, to make it all right. We long for normalcy. We long for things to be all right, for the things to just to be okay. And maybe that's different for different people. Maybe there's some moms that just to have their children around and have a messy house is just okay. And maybe that's different for another mom. But God longs to bring you as a mom to a place of peace. And He wants to help you do what it takes to be okay, to be all right. He loves mothers. He loves fathers. He loves children. He loves us very much. God bless you, mothers. Thank you for being the moms that you are. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, today especially, we thank you for mothers. And thank you for giving each of us a mom. Whether or not she's still living, whether or not she's still here for us to say Happy Mother's Day to, we still all have been given a mother. And we thank you for the special role that you've given to moms. I pray, Lord, that you would lift up weary hands, that you would strengthen the feeble knees. I pray that you would help the mothers to find security and rest and peace in their calling and in you. Help us as fathers to fill our God-given role as well. Help us to be the support that you intend for us to be. And thank you for the children who are here today. Help us, Lord, to pass on the faith. Help each of the children here to get a grasp of the high calling that is ours in Christ Jesus. Help them to make the faith of their fathers and their mothers personal. Father, we thank you for the special privilege that it is to be a part of this church and this body. And thank you for granting us this privilege to meet together in this way today. Lord, I pray that your word would strengthen us and that our fellowship would be meaningful, and that we would use the truths that we've heard today to make a fresh consecration, a fresh promise to serve you, to live for you, and to do our very best for you. Bless each one here, Lord, and those who can't be here as well. Bless them where they are. Help us all to keep you first this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.